Father, I just thank you for your word. Father, again, I'm asking for broken bread, Lord, that which we can partake of. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love it when the service goes in such a way that I think, hey, maybe I won't have to speak. That's happened a few times here. But this time we do have time. And the Lord has very specifically, I have been pretty busy, you know. It's amazing how busy you can be no matter where you are, no matter where God has placed you. It seems like there's lots of responsibilities. And last year, and getting the property set up, and then it was like, all this grass. I had never cut grass before in my life. And I'm learning how to turn on a lawnmower and do all the things you have to do. I got Pastor Jay there, and he's changing the oil for me, and you know. But all the things that you have to do. Years ago, I had said, God, unless you have a purpose, I never want to have a house again. I just want to live in a little condominium. I was in one for about a year, and I absolutely loved it. I said, I just want to live in a little condominium where I can vacuum and dust, and I'm done, you know. I never want a house again, and here I am, you know, with 8,000 square feet and all this land. And but there's a plan, and there's a purpose, and I'm more than willing. And in the busyness, just trying to do everything that needs to be done, and, you know, we don't have to always be sitting in the Lord's presence. Now, I'm a big advocate of setting apart time to be in his presence. The Lord has met me in powerful ways as I have set aside time, and it's at the very heart of my walk with the Lord. But when I found myself busy, 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 you know, there's times and there's seasons. And if my grass needs to be cut, the Lord isn't going to really bless me if I'm sitting there. I need to go cut the grass. There's that which we have to do, and there's that which we want to do. Some of us need to get rid of some of the things we want to do so that we can do the things we have to do and then still have some time. But as I've been busy, the Lord has been speaking to me much about practicing his presence. Practicing his presence. You know, everything that I do is a worship. When I'm doing it unto the Lord, practicing his presence. But as I was going up to the post office, and my husband, I haven't said a whole lot about this, but my husband has some health problems, and I don't know if any of you have ever been a caregiver. But it takes time, and it takes energy. And the Lord is blessing him so much. The tangible sense of God's presence, like when I take his hand, I can feel the presence of God. But busy. And as I was going up to the post office, checking the mail, I decided to go by the river. There's a river about 4 miles from our property, and I decided to go by the river and just pause for a minute. And as I was sitting there, I felt like the Lord said, you know, you're not the only one busy. You're not the only one pressing for time. You're not the only one trying to make ends meet. You're not the only one hearing bad news on the news. And I felt like the Lord said, refresh my people. Refresh my people. I want to refresh my people. I want to pour out my spirit upon. I want to stir up my spirit within. I want to refresh my people because they've been faithful. They've been diligent. They've been seeking my face. They've been praying. Oh, we all have areas where God is dealing with us. But you know, it's not that suddenly we have said and done everything right today. God is still working with me. But it's a heart attitude towards the Lord, where our desire is to please Him. And there's an openness for the Lord to deal with us where we need to be dealt with. And there's the pleasure of the Lord over those who have their hearts bent toward Him. And I felt like the Lord said he just wanted to refresh, to strengthen, and to encourage His people. Worship, we take our time with the worship. Often when there comes a corporate moving of God's Spirit, it's through the corporate body and it's during the worship, where the Lord will begin to move and the Lord will begin to speak. There's also an infilling. There's an impartation. I believe that's what we were experiencing today. It was just an impartation of His presence and of His Spirit that energizes us and strengthens us. But today is the day that I have where I can be strengthened, encouraged, built up in my spirit man, made ready for tomorrow, whatever tomorrow might bring. Some of us wear ourselves out trying to figure out what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't need to know today what's going to happen tomorrow. I just need to make sure that today I'm walking in the will of God. I'm hearing from God today, and what I'm doing today and where I am today is exactly where God would have me. I need that assurance that today I am in the Lord's will. And then as I'm partaking of His Word, I'm partaking of His Spirit, spending time in His presence, practicing His presence, I'll find myself ready for tomorrow. Today is a day of preparation. Today is the day we have to prepare, to be strengthened, to be made ready. I believe that there's three keys that are vital for the time that we are finding ourselves in right now in history. And number one is prayer and intercession. I can't think of any higher calling than to have a ministry of prayer, making yourself available for prayer. It's not a coincidence that the Lord is raising up places of prayer today, establishing little groups here and there where their primary purpose is prayer. Prayer and intercession. I believe also our worship is a primary key to what God is doing today, that presencing that we were contending for today. It's key to what God is doing today, as well as righteous living. Prayer, it's the law by which God works. It's the way God moves. He moves in response to prayer. There's a cooperative relationship that we've been brought into with the Lord Jesus Christ through redemption. He works through man. He's invited us to be a part. And it's through prayer that God moves, that God intervenes. We can get very religious about prayer. Prayer is just talking to God, our Heavenly Father, our Redeemer, our Savior. But not just talking, learning to listen, learning to hear. Have you ever been in conversation where the other person does all the talking and you can't get a word in edgewise? Well, we do it to God all the time. And we call it our time of fellowship. Prayer. Not only expressing our hearts, but learning to hear. Becoming sensitive to His heart and being able to respond to that which is on the heart of God. Prayer, I can pray anytime, any place, anywhere, regardless of what I'm doing. I can be in an attitude of prayer. Intercession is different. Intercession is initiated by the Holy Spirit. From a life of prayer will come times of intercession. If we make room for not only where we are expressing our hearts, but where we're learning to hear and to become sensitive and responsive to Him. Intercession and intervention are greatly linked. It's through intercession that intervention often occurs. And timing is important. Recently, I had a intercessory burden. It was just heavy. I didn't know exactly what it was for, but I sure knew intercession when I feel it, and I understand that timing is critical. It was maybe an hour or so later, I got a phone call. There had been a critical meeting taking place with important decisions being made. I said, "Thank you, Lord." I had guests at the time, and fortunately, they were people of prayer too. And I had said, "I'm sorry, I have this intercession." They said, "That's all right, we'll pray with you." That's the kind of friends we need. That's the kind of relationships we need where we can be true to what's in our heart and be free, free. Let's say that word free. Hallelujah, free. Free to move as God is moving in us. Freedom. Hallelujah. Sometimes I get so tired of being polite. Do you ever want to pull the mask off and say, "Hello"? Intercession, there's a timing in it. And I tell you, there's power in numbers when you have that intercession. You can have that freedom not just to try to hide it because you don't want to be rude, but to have others who will join in with you, where you can say, "This is what's happening," and have people join in with you. In that unity, there's strength. One can put 1,000 to flight to 10,000. We need those kind of relationships. We need those kind of friendships. We're not called to be lone rangers. Every one of us needs a friend. Every one of us needs someone we can pray with, someone we can talk to, Someone we can spend time with. The Lord, and the scripture tells us we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And sometimes we think of that as just a formal church service. No. Maybe I need to gather with you around the dinner table tonight and share my heart. We are not to allow ourselves to become isolated. We are not to forsake that joining together with other people. We need those Spirit-given relationships that God has given to us. But intercession, there's a timing. There's a timing. And there has to be within our way of living the freedom to be able to respond to the Lord's heart when He nudges us. If I'm on a job, if I have a responsibility, I can hold that inside me. And the Lord will respect that. But if I'm going out for pizza, maybe the pizza better wait until another time. Intercession, prayer, then worship. You know, I like to be in an attitude of worship all day long. I personally have worship music playing almost all the time. It's either just instrumentals or it's worship music with words. But I have it very softly so that it's in the background. It's not intrusive, but it's creating an atmosphere that I can enter in with. And I like to be in an attitude of worship, whatever I'm doing. You know, you can't have a bad attitude when you're worshiping. You can't say something sharp to somebody when you're in an attitude of worship. You know, as you're maintaining that posture of worship. See, we worship round about His throne. Well, where's His throne? His throne is being established in our hearts. In our lives, in the midst of our circumstances, and then there's an effect on out. But as we're worshiping Him, I believe the Lord is establishing places, not just places where there's an open heaven. I've started to reword that because I've said there's places that the Lord is raising up, marked by His presence. It's more than that. It's people over whom there's a little open heaven. And wherever they go, there's an impact on the very atmosphere, on the environment, because they're there. And then when we get together, whoa, it's wonderful. But that's the calling that is on our lives. A people of prayer. Sensitive to the nudges of the Holy Spirit, available for intercession, a people of worship who are learning to not only abide in the presence of the Lord, but release it into circumstances and situations and places. It's so important that we take the time to develop that sensitivity of spirit so that we can hear even the slightest whisper, so that we can sense even the most gentle nudge from the Lord. There's so much that would desensitize us in the media and just everything that's round about us. But as we're maintaining that inward posture towards the Lord, and as we're maintaining that sensitivity of spirit, it keeps us into that place that if He's waiting, we can wait. If He's moving, we can move. But we're in harmony with Him. It's important that we learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Not just in our prayer times, though we definitely need it in our prayer times as well, but that we find ourselves in the right place at the right time, with the right word in the right place at the right time. I could tell you story after story where I just happened to be somewhere at a certain time. But it wasn't that I just happened. Or I just happened to make a phone call. Yeah. But the timing was important. See, that sensitivity of spirit, where we're learning to hear, and where we're nudgeable, we're adjustable, we're flexible to that which is on the Lord's heart. I believe with my whole heart that there is yet a move of God in this nation. I've walked through past visitations at times. There's a progression, but there's yet a move of God. There's yet an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that will bring the church age into its fullness as we transition into the day before us. There's a releasing of authority that's yet to be given to an overcoming people, a people who have qualified, an authority that is greatly needed within the church. There are times where the Lord will move on us to make declarations. And those declarations are based on God's word. They're based on faith, and we can declare it. And faith pleases the Lord. But yet there's another realm of authority that the Lord is calling us up into, where the Lord is speaking a particular word at a particular time to our spirit, and we're just declaring. It's almost like becoming the voice of one, where he's speaking through us. There's declarations I can make just on faith, and the Lord will bless that. He'll bless his word. He'll bless that faith. But there's an inward working of the Lord where there's a breaking of my will and an establishing of his will, where my nature is being changed and now it's his nature being seen, where the Lord can entrust me, because I'm not going to move before him, nor am I going to lag behind him, but I'm becoming trained and disciplined by the Holy Spirit, where the Lord can entrust a specific word at a specific time to me, and as I declare it at the unction of the Holy Spirit, it's powerful. It shatters that which needs to be broken. And it brings forth and it conceives that which God would desire to do. I have experienced that a few times. And there's a vast difference. But there's a people who are being prepared. There's a people who are being raised up. Don't look down at the time or the season that you're in and saying, but what am I doing? And what is God doing through me? Understand that as you're yielding to the Lord, as you're communing with him, as you're fellowshipping with him, as you're becoming trained and sensitive and responsive to his Holy Spirit, that there's a timing And that which God would do, and that which God would yet do, will be seen. Hallelujah. Because the finest hour is yet ahead. Hallelujah. I believe every move of God has been but the platform for that which God would do today. And that there's a releasing of his presence and of his glory. And yes, there will be some judgments. But why? So there can be a cleansing. So there can be a purging. Hallelujah. Not to destroy a people, but to bring forth the people to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord is calling us today to prepare, to make ready that we would be a part of that people. Prayer, intercession, worship, and righteous living, that third key. We're living in such serious times. It's dark times. So much compromise in the world. Not a true definition of right and wrong. But as we contend for righteousness in our own lives, righteous decisions, righteous choices. You know, I would not want to live my life any way other than what God could bless. I couldn't bear to live outside of God's blessing. I couldn't bear it. I'd be scared to death. But making righteous decisions, understanding that he agapes the whole world. But there's that within the heart of God. See, I love those that love me, Proverbs 8:17, Psalms 91, because you have set your love on me. Therefore, see, there's that in the heart of God which responds to those who love him. And as we're making righteous decisions, you know, and so often, rather than allowing the Lord to deal with our own lives, we want to be pointing out there at everything everybody else is doing wrong. You know, picking on segments or people in society and saying, well, look at what they're doing and look at what they're saying. And rather than, you know what, let righteousness dwell in me. Let there be right decisions. You know, let Jesus be seen in me. It's during this dark time that we're in. Isaiah 60, that the glory of God shall be seen. The glory of God shall arise upon his people. The glory of God shall be seen. The Gentiles shall be turning. He's going to glorify his house. When I see these dark times, I get encouraged because I expect to see the glory of God, and I expect to see it in my lifetime. I expect to see it in this generation. Jesus is coming, 2 Thessalonians 2:10. He's coming to be glorified, to be admired in a people. We're that people. We're that people. That Jesus could be seen in me. That's awesome. I heard someone say recently that who we are isn't really who we are when we're sitting in church. It's who we are when we're driving on 495. When we're at work, when we're with our families, that's who we really are. But that Jesus could be seen that Jesus could be admired, glorified in me. I believe that as we simply keep our eyes on Jesus, I know that's where my vision is, that's where my focus is. I'm aware of what's going on. I'll look at it, then I'll turn my eyes toward Jesus. But as we keep our eyes on Jesus, walking in such a way that we knew that if this was the last day I had to live, I would be pleased with the way I spent it. My grass needed to be cut, I'd cut it. Whatever it was I was called to do that day, that I had done it. And that I had done it to the best of my ability, and that I had done it unto the Lord. But as we keep our eyes on Jesus, 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect. Think about that. Our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we. Where? In this world. That is an awesome thought. This isn't talking about being changed in the twinkling of an eye. As he is, so are we in this world. Herein is our love made perfect, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. It's Christ in us that is the hope of glory. We're carriers of his presence. We're living epistles being read by men, whether we want to open our book covers on any given day or not. In him we live and we move and we have our being. In him are hid all the treasures. It's all about him. Christ in us. You know, sometimes we're looking for God. He's right here. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's right here. And he's wanting to be seen. He's wanting to be heard. He's wanting to be made visible. He's wanting us to grow up into him in every area of our lives. It is this level of relationship that the Lord is inviting us up into, and which is so necessary for the time and the day that we're living in. It's from this level of relationship that we will find the strength that we need. Why? Because a strong one is living inside of me. It is from this level of relationship that there will come that releasing of the word of the Lord when it's to be released into situations and in circumstances. See, that I may know him. It's what this life is all about. That we would grow up into him. If it was just getting saved, once we gave our hearts to the Lord, we could, do you ever hear of that shotgun Christianity? Get them saved and boom, let them go to heaven. Hattie Hammond, she said, none of us are perfect yet. She's in her 80s, served the Lord over 60 years. She said, if we were, I wouldn't still be here. God would have taken me home. areas where God is working in each and every one of us, but a heart's turn toward the Lord that releases the approbation and the favor of God, His divine favor, as He births us and brings us into His divine purpose. What a joy to be part of that which He would do. Can you imagine? To become a partaker with Him. To become joined with Him. To become a mouthpiece. To become His hands. To become His feet. To give expression to His heart. What a joy. What a joy. And I believe that there's those who desire this deeper walk, this intimacy, this union with the Lord. And I believe that's what joins us together. I'm looking at a group of overcoming people, not nominal Christians, well, I'm saved and I hope I, you know, but people who are committed. People who know Him and, like Paul, long to know Him more. Who have made themselves available. And I believe that it is this people, it's a people within a people, that the Lord is going to use. You know, I was listening to my friend speak from Oregon. They pastor together in Oregon. And they were talking about the releasing of the presence of God within. Well, I know that. But something happened in my spirit where it was like, wow, I'm hearing it. I'm hearing it. And I believe that it's this people committed, allowing the Lord to work within, that the Lord is joining together. We need our relationships. The Lord is joining together and is going to use. And that releasing of His presence and His glory that is surely coming. It's not going to be another big name evangelist. See, there's a corporate anointing. There's a corporate function of the body. As the body becomes joined to the head, there's a corporate function where there's going to come that releasing in the busyness of the day. In the busyness of the day. But as we're practicing His presence, and as we're also making times available, redeeming the time, making time available, a people whose hearts are right, who are making righteous choices. You know, there's things that maybe I can do and I'll still make it to heaven. Honestly, that's not the point. The point is that there's a fullness that we can contend for and that we can believe for. Matthew 13 talks about different types of soil, the wayside where there's no receptivity at all. But then there's that soil where there's stones. It's like weights in the pocket. Then there's the thorns and the thistles that choke. You know, it steals your time. It takes your time. There's weights. But then there's the good ground. And even then, gradation, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Paul said, I pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, not as though I had already attained or were already made perfect. But this one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind, I press forward for that which is before, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. Christ in us, we in Christ. But it's this corporate people. We're from different locations, but we're here as one people today. There's a corporate anointing that is going to explode, and we are yet going to see God move in ways that need to be seen today. A people who are believing and contending for his presence. A people who, even as Mary said, be it unto me according to your will. I'm available. And I often say that to the Lord. You know, I'm available. I can't do anything, but you can do everything. And here I am, Lord. If you can use me, I'm here. The word that I felt the Lord gave me for today was simply refresh my people. Refresh my people. You know, sometimes we become weary. We get into this try mode where we're trying to do so good and we're trying to do so much. And it's like the Lord is saying, rest in me. Just rest in me. Rest in me. Do those things that you need to do. Be faithful in them. And find those times apart that you can spend with me. And let me pour my love over you. Let me refresh you. Let me fill you. I want you to know that I'm so pleased with you. I'm so pleased with you. You see your faults and your failures. I see a heart that's desiring me. And I see a door that's open for me to work and move. And let me encourage you that your problems are not too hard for me because I'm God. Amen. And I can deal with your problems. I just need your willingness. I just need your willingness. Let me just love you. Let me just put my arms around you. Find a place of peace and find a place of rest in me. For I am with you, says the Lord. And I would refresh you and I would strengthen you. You are loved. You are loved with an everlasting love. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You will never find yourself alone at any moment because I will always be there with you. And my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. You will always have enough. You will always, as you abide in me and allow me to abide in you, you will never find yourself lacking of the grace or strength or wisdom that you need. Because I will always supply all of your need from my riches, which are in glory. And I will always be with you. Let me love you. Let me love you. Enter into my rest and into my peace. I have a plan. There's a fullness of time. I will yet move at my appointed time. Until then, let my Holy Spirit nudge you, lead you, guide you, even in your prayers. Let my Holy Spirit move through you. And you will be amazed at what God will yet do in and through your lives. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you.